All right, I think we're on now. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that, brother. We're going to start off with a little something sweet. I've actually got mints in here. So let me get you something. I brought these. I didn't know we were going to have all these supplies down there. This is a little Hershey Kiss just for you guys in the little silver wrapper, the classic. I didn't get the Easter sale, so they're not the cute pastel colors. They're just plain silver. Is that all right? And if that's okay, I'll get you guys one. Hey, guys, come on in. I'm just handing out Hershey Kisses. You got here just in time for the Hershey Kiss. Here you go, Thomas. Thank you, guys. All right. There we go. Now, there's a meaning to the madness, so just give me a second. But obviously, right? There you go. And our two ladies that just came in here in the back. All right. Now, what do you know about a Hershey Kiss?
They rock.
Chocolate. I'm sorry?
Too many make you fat.
Too many make you fat. All right. Not quite the direction I wanted to go with this opening illustration, but fair enough. What do we know about these little jewels?
They're mellow smooth.
Okay, they're smooth. They're sweet. Right? They come wrapped individually.
They're triangle shaped.
Very good. But in essence, to really boil it down, I mean, you've got this pretty shiny wrapper. If you can unwrap this thing, inside is this just nugget of sweetness melt in your mouth, as good as it gets, piece of chocolate that you just can't wait to get in on. Hey, how are you? I want to make sure you get a Hershey Kiss. Come on in, have a seat. Have a seat. There's plenty there. And what I want us to kind of get our minds wrapped around today is this concept. And if I can put something in your hands to help you to remember it, then I've done my job. But it's simply this. Worship should be something that's sweet. It should be something we long for. It should be something that is just a morsel of unbelievable, intimate sweetness, like this Hershey Kiss. But for many of us, we think it's wrapped around and it's got this covering on it, and we have to somehow peel around all this junk to get to some sort of sweet, intimate form of worship. The greatest thing about God is that there used to be a veil wrapped around it. But because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, that veil has been removed. The wrapper has already been taken off, and the sweet intimacy of worship is available to us as believers. But for some reason, we mess this thing up. I mean, we're real good at messing up worship. We are. We can twist it, we can turn it, and we can try to make it our own deal. When it's intended to be an intimate encounter with a holy God. Now, it was behind the veil, and for many of us, we need to get behind that veil. And if we can achieve that in a worship service, then that should be the point, right? So the question is, how can I move single adults behind the veil where they can have an intimate, sweet encounter with a God who is passionately in love with them? How do you do that? How is that made real? So let's talk for a second. I've got some handouts, and this will help you. For those of you who love to fill in blanks, there are blanks to be filled. So I know you guys will be so excited, and I promise you before you leave here today that you'll have all your blanks filled so you won't go crazy and lose your mind and think that your life is out of order because you don't have a blank filled. If I forget one, ask Melinda. She can answer it for you because she's cool like that. I do have a trash can. It's right there back at the door. Sorry. There you go. All right. So we're going to talk about this behind the veil. How many of you right now, I'm curious as to know, already have a singles worship service, whether it be on a small scale, large scale, whatever, but it's a separate worship time for single adults that you guys are involved in. How many of your churches have something like that? Just my church? Wow. Okay, you got something like that? An ongoing worship service that's targeted towards college young adults, single adults, something like that. Okay, that would be separate from then your church service, because right now, for the majority of us, and I figured it would be a low percentage, but for the majority of us, when we talk about this idea of worship, and obviously we're talking about a worship service and the singing aspect, but we'll talk that worship is so much more than singing, but that it's singles are incorporated into the life of the church, and whatever the church does on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights, that's what the singles do. And the singles ministry is relegated to more of small group Bible studies, or book studies, or in homes, or social activities. But as far as the corporate worship is done, church as a whole. And so, if you were at some point to think about, hey, maybe we should start thinking about having just some worship that's just us. Once a month or once a quarter or something. A coffee house. Or even if it's just you're going to bring in a speaker to speak to your singles and you want to do a worship service around a certain theme. Or you want to do something like that. How do you go about doing that? How do you go about creating an intimate worship setting for your single adults? I'm going to try to help you with that. Okay, I don't profess to have all the answers. Please hear me on this. We have one. We have not perfected it. It is still a work in progress. But what I do know, I'm going to try to help you know. My name is Chris Dowd, and I'm a singles pastor. You know me, some of you know me, just from the aspect of being a director of this conference. But aside from Navigate, I'm a singles pastor. And I'm in the middle of it every day, in the middle of singles ministry, as well as some other responsibilities in my church, but I'm just in the middle of it every day, just like many of you, and trying to find out how best to minister to singles and young adults in my community, just like you are, okay? And so that's what this conference is about, to help you do that in all the different aspects. How do you reach divorced? How do you reach college students? How do you do this? How do you do that? This is about, if you want to do some sort of worship service in your area, what would it look like? So I'm going to help you with that. So let's talk for a little bit about this thing called worship. Because it means something different, probably for everybody in here, if we really got down to it, and what worship really means. So let's talk about it for a second. I have a formula for success. I know you're all wanting to come in here, so I try to make one up. You're like, just give it to me straight. Just tell me, this plus this, and if I do it, we're going to have us a great time of worship, and singles from all over my city are going to come, and we're going to have hundreds of people in a month, and it's just going to be the greatest thing on the face of the planet. Give me the formula. I've got it. I figured it out. Are you ready? Because we've got hundreds coming to ours, right? No, not yet. Here we go. Answer me this question. What is worship? Someone talk to me. I'm going to go up here to the board. And I'm going to write down some things here. Just in a very general sense, someone tell me, what did you see this, by the way? When did you see this before I erased it? Our prayer team for this conference has been to every room, and they've prayed over your chairs that you're sitting in right now that God would speak to your heart today. Isn't that good? So, all right, what is worship? Someone tell me. Okay, pleasing to the eyes of God. All right, pleasing. Okay?
Showing our adoration.
Adoration. Okay?
Reverence.
Okay? Connection. Okay, that's good. Oh, I like that word. Intimacy. Okay? Anything else? All right, that's pretty good. Conglomeration of thoughts there. Worship involves pleasing God, adoring Him, reverence, connecting with Him, intimacy with God. What's that? And fellowship with the body. So you're talking about from a corporate standpoint, there's fellowship involved. But if it's just me and God one-on-one, right? So it could incorporate some sort of fellowship. Okay? When we're talking about corporate worship, then yeah, that would be an aspect of it, okay? So if all these things are true, if this is how we define worship, then the next question is this. How is that fleshed out? How do we flesh that out? I've actually got three. You have to... All right, good question. What does this mean? How do I, if I'm going to be in reverence to God, what does that mean? I mean, these are all, again, we've gone from one hard-to-define word to six hard-to-define words. Right? I mean, let's just be transparent for a second. What does this mean? Intimacy, fellowship, connection. Someone tell me how that's fleshed out. How do I connect with God? If this is a key form, let's just start with this, and this will be a good one to start with. How do I connect with God?
Prayer.
Okay? That's fleshed out maybe in prayer. Okay? Now that we've got kind of an idea, help me think through some of these others. Prayer helps me connect with God. All right, what else? What about adoration? How is this fleshed out?
Praise.
Oh, watch out now. We're in a Baptist church, so we can't have all P words about to show up. Come on now, we got the power. Come on, here we go. All right. How else? I mean, what's going on? What? Music. Okay. We're going to put that somewhere. Maybe adoration is music. Okay. Pleasing. How's that fleshed out?
Obedience.
Woohoo. Obedience, service, something like that. Okay. I'm sorry?
Right standing.
Right standing. Yeah, that might do something with, if I'm fellowshipping with God, I need right standing to have fellowship with God, right? And also reverence, right? So we'll just put right standing, something like that.
Reverence and giving.
Giving? Whoa. Man. Okay. Right standing, giving. Okay. What about this one? The word. Okay. Okay, but let's try to get more fleshed out. What do you mean by loving? Passionate? Serving, right? Yeah, we talk about that up here in obedience, right? Serving others. Sorry, I can't write. Passion. Can I get intimate with God if I'm unclean?
Right fellowship.
Right. So that's this right fellowship, right standing. Right. We're gonna have to some sort of confession, right? Some sort of righteousness gets me fellowship with God. Okay, these are the kinds of things, and maybe you have some more ideas, but now you're seeing my flow of thought. Okay, I'm trying to take something that seems irrational and hard to wrap our arms around and breaking it down logically to get to point. Okay, now, if worship is all these things, and it's fleshed out through things like obedience, service, praise, music, right standing, giving, prayer, the word, passion, confession, righteousness, if these are the things that help me flesh out my definition of worship, then it has to lead to this third question, which you need to write in there. How do we get there? Open spirit. Okay? So, if I'm going to have this passion and an obedience and servant, I've got to have an open spirit, you're saying, right? Okay? How else can I get, when I've got things like open spirit, how can I get here?
You have to have a willingness to receive what God has to offer.
Okay. All right. Right, open spirit, right? I've got to start doing it, right? So I got to sing, right? If that's part of my adoration, if the word brings me intimacy, then maybe I got to listen, right? if prayer is a way to connect to God, then I got to start speaking. I mean, these are where I'm trying to get to. How else do I get there? Surrender. I love the word surrender. Okay? What other kind of things do you think of? Seeking. Humble spirit. Humbleness. Okay? Now, and we can go on and on and on and figure out more and more words. I'm going to leave this up here for now. Because here's the answer. If I do this formula, if I define for us what worship is, okay? And again, we have a myriad of different people and backgrounds and denominations in this one room. So for your group, you define, okay, what is worship to us, guys? You get your leadership team together. You're thinking about doing some sort of worship service. Say, listen, guys, what is worship to us? And you say, well, worship is this. Okay, well, how is that fleshed out? Someone help me understand how we flesh this thing out. Well, you know, we need to adore Him, and so, you know, that's like musically. Okay, well then how do we get there? Well, we're going to have some songs. If you do all this, then you get to your worship service. You say, what are the elements of our worship service? If it doesn't fit into this formula, it's not a part of your worship service. Does that make sense? If my goal is to get the people that come here, then we're going to be involved in these kinds of things, knowing that it helps them get here. If you're debating over what we should add, should we do this, should we do this, the question is, does it fit into the formula? What about this? There's all kinds of new ideas out there about worship. There's people doing this, people doing that. Fine. For your group, this is what worship is for us here. And this is how we believe we get there. If it doesn't fit into the formula, it doesn't fit into the service. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, again, you got different backgrounds, different people, different ages. So you got to say, listen, this is where our people are at. And this is what worship is for our people. And so we need to get them to this intimacy, to fellowship, to connection, to reverence, to adoration. This is where we want them to be. Therefore, if this doesn't help them get there, it is not a part of our service. Close it off. Does that make sense? Okay. So, one of the things that has helped me in my life, God just kind of laid this on my heart a couple years ago, and I'm going to share it with you today. And we're going to walk through it together, because I want to help you piece together your worship service. But just know from the beginning that that is your philosophy behind this thing. Okay? That is our undercurrent behind the worship service. Okay? Now that we've moved to this idea of what kind of elements, we know that has to be involved in those kinds of things. How does it look? What's the progression? And I want to show you what I call the progression of worship. And we'll do some things together. I tried to get my PowerPoint to show this, but it didn't, so I'm going to draw it. All right, and you already saw by my handwriting how bad that was. It's about to get worse. It's okay. I'm going to draw now. All right, I'm going to worship through my artistic expression. He said, "Man, this is crazy. This ain't worship." All right, it's all right. You do your own thing. Here we go. Back in the day. Now, when I say back in the day, I'm not talking about the 60s or the 70s or something. I am talking about back in the Old Testament days. There was something called the tabernacle. Okay? Someone briefly explained to me, I'll pick something specific. The tent of meeting in the wilderness, the Mosaic tabernacle. What was that? How did it work? How did it operate? Anyone? You're like, you're the teacher, you tell us. We're here to learn. Ask me a question. How the tabernacle worked in the Old Testament system.
They brought sacrifices.
Okay.
There were three parts to the tabernacle.
Okay, come on now. Oh. Uh-huh. Okay. Right. You're exactly right. Does everybody get that? 1, 2, 3. Now, this is why it's my rough drawing, okay? So just forgive me. But What's up here? Oh, yeah, that's right. We'll do the showbread, and we'll do... Yeah, all right. Yeah, you're thinking, okay, what is this? Just trust me. Go with me on this one. All right? God sets up this Old Testament system of worship. Okay? And I think that it's for a purpose. I think it's for a reason. And I think it will help us. It will liberate us. It will clarify our thought process when it comes to worship today. You say, yeah, that's the old covenant. We have a new covenant instituted in the blood of Jesus, and we don't do this anymore. You're right. But there's a logic behind what God set up that's going to help us today, and it's simply this. I'll share, and we'll talk about it as we go. He was right when he said there are three parts, right? There were the outer courts, and then there was the holy place, and then there was the Holy of Holies, behind the veil where the Ark of the Covenant was, right? Only one person was allowed to go into here. Who was that? The high priest. And how many times?
Once a year.
Okay? So there was one person once a year that got to go into the presence of God, right? The great news is the veil has been removed, right? That's the good news. So now our goal with your worship service is to get the worshipers behind the veil. Because for many of us, we're still worshiping outside the veil at a distance. Right? Non-committal. Do my own comfortable thing. Sit in the back. Not be noticed. Blend. And get out. Get my blessing and get gone. Right? So we're trying to get people behind the veil still today. God's opened the door wide open, but we still have to come. So if I can develop a service that kind of moves them this way, then that's what I want to do, right? So I'm trying not to get preachy, but just forgive me. This is a passion of mine. I'll get a little preachy. All right. Now, what's going on out here in this model, this progression model? What is all this out here? The world, life, everything else, right? When someone comes into your worship service, whatever it is you're doing, coffee house, whatever you're trying to do, they're coming from out here, right? We all are. All this stuff out here, how is that going to affect their worship? Their mind's going to be going 100 miles an hour because they got all kinds of stuff going on. Especially singles. Especially first time coming in. By themselves. They are taking a risk by coming by themselves already. So they're already thinking about, what are people going to look at me? Did I wear the right thing tonight? Are people checking me out? Is this a meat market? Is this a safe place for me to be? What's going on? And they're doing this deal. Is someone going to greet me? All this kind of stuff. The first step in this progression of worship is what I call undistracted worship. At this stage, we're distracted. Because we've got all the stuff of the world on our minds. All the problems, job's not going well, got problems in the family, got health problems, got financial problems, they got it all. But we're trying to create an intimate setting for them to get one-on-one with their Creator, the one who loves them. But it's going to be so hard if they're still distracted, right? So, I want to begin the service in some way to help remove distractions. If I know that that's the mindset that they're coming into, what can I do up front to help move them to the second level? Because they're all coming in at level one. I need to get to level two. What are some things I can do? If y'all ever heard of this, this is an old element. It's called a call to worship. Right? That used to be very, very popular thing to do. What is that? What was the purpose of that? People getting ready, now they're coming in to kind of focus their attention and to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay, now the call to worship then was maybe a song, something they did, right? Maybe they used to have a responsive reading. Remember in the back of the hymnal, some of those things, they say, "Hey, listen, go to call to worship number 5. And we're going to read that." But the purpose of it, do you understand? The purpose of it was to move. Hey, listen, I know there's a whole lot going on right now. But we're getting started. And we need to take our eyes off of that and say, okay, I want to focus on this now. Because God, I don't want to miss what you have for me. So I am turning my attention off all this stuff that I brought in here with me. And for the next hour, hour and 15 minutes, whatever it is, I'm just going to focus on you. But God, I'm going to be honest enough to tell you I need help with that. I need you to help me just focus on you. So there are some elements, there are some things maybe that we can do creatively to help that. And I want to talk about that. Let's take about 3-4 minutes. I want you to get into small groups, whatever, 3-4, whatever, 5, whatever you want to do, and just talk about this for a second. And just talk amongst yourself, just kind of brainstorm, what are some ways that we can move people from distracted to undistracted worship? What are some creative calls to worship? What are some things we can do at the front set of a service that might help somebody get focused? All right, does that make sense? All right, we'll just get into a small group and just talk for a little bit, share some ideas, and then we'll come back together. All right?
Come and listen. Come and listen. done for me. He's done for you. He's done for us. Come and listen. Come and listen to what he's done. Come and listen. Come and listen to what he's done. He tell you what he has done for me. Let me tell you what he has done for me. Let me tell you what he has done for me. He has done for you. For us.
That is a call to worship by a guy named David Crowder. And it's a very simple chorus that just says, come and listen to what he's done. He's good, he's great, but now it's time to come. It's almost like a storyteller sitting down by the creek, sitting on a stump, saying, all right, guys, hey, everybody come down here. I want to tell you a story. Everybody come down here. And everyone stops what they're doing, they stop playing, and they come down and they gather around the teacher sitting on the stump to come and listen to the stories of God. This is kind of a call to worship. Okay, so what kind of ideas did you guys come up with some calls to worship, some ideas to get them undistracted?
Drama.
Okay. You might open up with a drama. And just what kind of drama, some sort of skit that might focus their attention? Okay, it's an attention grabber. Okay. Okay. A dance. Okay. What else? Okay, like what?
Well, I mean, like the show God's creation.
Yeah. Okay, like a musical slideshow type presentation. Okay, sure. PowerPoint video, right? Absolutely. You know, I've used those both nights. You notice that? Just a clip to kind of everybody. They're talking to all this stuff, and all of a sudden they say, oh, what's this? Hold on, what's this? And all of a sudden everybody's focused in on it. Then you get up and you go, okay, so video works, PowerPoint. Okay, anything else you guys thought of? All right, a song like that. You know, I want you to get away from this idea that everything has to start up. You know what I mean? The thing about worship is everybody has their cookie-cutter worship recipe that everybody's used to. Right? A worship service is this. Come, stand up, sing a song, sit down, listen to a message, go home. That's a worship service. However you want to package it, that's it. And you always have to come, start upbeat, and then bring it down. You know? Why can't you start down and end upbeat? If the message is about victory in God, why can't I end upbeat? I mean, you know? Do it. Why can't I preach first and do music last? Why? Break the mold. Get out of the box. Our goal is to bring worshipers behind the veil. And there is no cookie cutter mold to that, but we're doing this progression of worship. All right? Drama, dance, PowerPoint video. We said a song, okay? Those are all good things. Anything else anybody come up with? Kind of creative?
About the first approach. Okay. You know, greet them in the parking lot, bring them in, taking away all that anxiety of coming in.
Right. Right. What if we moved away from a greeter mentality and stopped calling them greeters and start calling them hosts? And instead of saying, we're so glad you're here, here's the building, find a seat, that they said, I'm so glad you're here. Hey, you want to come sit with me? And that person's done. They take them to where the coffee is. They take them to where they fill out a visitor card or something. Say, hey, yeah, there's a bunch of us sitting over here. You can come sit with us. Hey, this is Rachel. This is Melinda. You can come sit with us. And now you're done. And then someone else comes in and becomes a host and a greeter. Okay? Just think outside. How can I break down this wall of distraction to get them in so that they can be more focused? Okay? Anything and everything helps. All right? Let's move to the next level. Now, I'm still calling this undistracted worship, even at the second level, because the second level is an important level. We're going to move from outside into the temple area, and this was called what? You used a good term for it. What was this called? The outer courts. Does anybody know a great verse in Psalms that might talk about how I'm supposed to enter the courts? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. That's what it's talking about. Because out here, there were priests singing and dancing the praises of God. So you were told to enter the gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. And I don't know about you, but even when I'm the most distracted or I got the most going on in my life, praising God helps me focus on God. It always does. It turns the focus off of me and off of all the stuff that's going on, and it fixes my eyes squarely on Him, and so I start praising Him. Okay? So this is where we get our praise on, right? But there's more ways than one of doing this. When we think worship, what immediately comes to mind? Singing, music, right? Everything else is preaching or other elements. But the worship part of our service is the music part of our service. You better drop that now. All these elements of worship you listed is a part of what my lifestyle should be, right? It's a part of what I live out day by day, not just what I sing on Sunday morning, right? So therefore, every element of my worship service is a worship element. Okay? Including this time. Now, is music part of it? Sure, absolutely. There are some things out there. And I'll go ahead and throw this out there. I'm not afraid to touch controversial subjects. My singles will tell you that. That's all we do on Wednesday nights. There's things out there. There are people that dance in worship. There are people that paint in worship. There are people that sculpt in worship. And so I'm just going to throw this out there. What do you guys think about that? Let me give you some feedback about non-singing forms of worship that we're seeing popping up in different worship services. Yeah.
Well, the first time I've ever seen painting was, mm-hmm. I guess it was before Easter, our youth did some stuff, mm-hmm. and a couple of guys were playing the guitars and singing, and a girl was painting, mm-hmm. and it was amazing.
Was it good?
I've never seen anything like it. You could drop the pen in there and heard it.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just sit there and you're thinking about, she got through, you didn't know what she was doing when she started, but when she got through, it was a picture of Christ and the blood and everything. But
yeah.
Not only was I looking at that and thinking of Christ, but I was looking at how God was just using her and giving
yes.
her that and things like that.
Yes. It is beautiful. And I like the way you put that, because that's where I'm going to end up on this stuff. If you were to ask me, what do I think about this stuff? Because I'm sure if we went around, we'd get different opinions on all this kind of stuff. Okay? Because this is not an organ and a piano, and it's some are comfortable with that, some want to do everything crazy. We could probably get a little bit of everything in this room, okay? Here's where I stand on this. It goes back to my formula. And it goes back to the point of this. Again, what is the point of the second stage? It's to fix our eyes on God to help remove what? Okay. So that is my guidelines. Is this going to be more of a distraction than it is a help? Or is it going to fix my eyes on somebody? Or is it going to fix my eyes upon God? If the answer is no, it won't be a distraction, and yes, it'll fix my eyes upon God, do it. But if you think in your world where you live and with your people that it'll be more of a distraction than a help and you're just doing it to be cool, don't do it. If it's going to fix your eyes upon a person and say, man, they did a really good job, then don't do it. Because the point here, again, is undistracted worship of God. And that's why I'm picking this element in my service. If it doesn't fit into my formula, it doesn't fit into the service. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Not only, I mean, that's why you have to, it's like, you have to be careful what you wear.
Yeah.
Doing worship.
Right.
Because people might, if you got big, long earrings, people are going to see the earrings. They're not going to see God. They're going to focus on that earring.
Right.
Whatever else.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're not real careful, and you can start to get real, almost legalistic towards, you know, our worship team's going to wear this, and everybody's going to wear, you know, you got to look this way, look a certain way, because for the distraction. And I'm willing to listen to anybody that would say, yeah, if there are certain things that are going to be distractions, then yeah, I would talk to that person about you know, maybe tone it down a little bit. But again, I want to be real careful, too, in this. I talk with Mike about this. Mike is one of our college students in our church, and he leads worship for us. We do a monthly coffee house worship setting, and he helps with that. And he'll be doing a few more songs today just to kind of help us transition. Because I want you to get also the idea of smooth transitions. It's not just start, stop, moments of silence, that everything flows. But this. I want the worship team to be able to worship. I don't want them to be distracted either. We always seem to fix our focus on the congregation, and we forget about the believers that are up on the platform. I want them to be undistracted from worshiping too. But if you're not real careful, you got to find some good people that can still make that connection. And this is something I'll brag on Mike, and I'll humble him at the same time. I don't think he'll mind me saying this. Mike growing as a worship leader. He knows he doesn't have it all together, but he knows that he's got some talents and abilities that God's given him, play the guitar and to sing. He's got a good voice. So he's learning what it is, though, to lead. You got to be more than just a musician and a singer, right? And so I always tell Mike, I want you to be not a worship leader, but a lead worshiper. Okay? But in the same tone, I don't want you to lose. I don't want there a disconnect between you and the congregation because you are leading them. Okay? And so Mike, God bless him, man. He gets lost in worship. I mean, he'll just get to going, and he's gone. He's in some other place. It's just him and Jesus having a quiet time. And the rest, but the people out here are going, What are we supposed to be singing? What's going on? Because Mike's just worshiping. He's gone. And I love that about Mike, which is why I have Mike doing some of my stuff. But at the same time, he's got to be conscious between, all right, let me open my eyes back up and connect with you again. Here's what we're singing. Okay, good. And then he's doing his thing. So to that, you know what I'm saying? I would say, hey, listen, sweetheart, in the earrings, I love you, but, you know. But I want you to be free to worship, and I want you to do your thing, and I don't want to take that away from you, but, you know, seriously, don't wear the Christmas sweater with the Rudolph red-nosed blinking nose next Christmas. That'd be sweet, you know. I'll talk about that. You had a question?
Yeah, I just want to emphasize on that. Like, say, you know, some churches you might go to, and the worship team and the worship person might be giving worship to God, might be so into it and lost the focus of the people in the crowd. I mean, of course, you got to be so focused on to it, but at the same time, give a smile here and there, because it might be somebody first coming to the church ever.
Right.
And if you smile at them and let them know, hey, I got joy in me, and
yes,
it feels so good to worship God, so at the end of the service, they might come down and get saved.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
Make eye contact with the...
I'm a firm believer in this, that true, authentic worship can be extremely evangelistic. Because a lost person come into this setting and be like, "This, I don't have this. This is new to me. I don't know what this is." But the key word there was authentic worship. Because there's a lot of people that can be real good at faking like they're doing their thing. But if they see a believer in genuine worship of an almighty God, that's evangelistic as you can get. I tell you what, do me a favor. I'm doing all this quickly. Let's take about 2 minutes. Get back in your groups and think about what are some creative ways that we can do this? What are some elements? Singing, that's going to be the biggie. But if there's anything out there, some things maybe you're doing in your church, again, this is like a networking idea. What are some ways we can get through this praise and celebration time of fixing our eyes on God? All right? Just take a few minutes and just talk about that, and then Mike will transition us and we'll go to the next point. Here, I'll tell you what, I'll do this too. That way you can see the words on the... Yeah. Here, I'm gonna get you a bottle. Oh, wait, you're my helper. Hey, go get yourself a bottle of water. Hi, guys. I'm really happy.
Center of our lives, be the place we fix our eyes, be the center of our lives. Oh Christ, be the center of our lives, be the place we fix our eyes, be the center of our lives. Center of the universe, everything was made in you.
Breath of every living thing.
Breath of every living thing, everything was made in you.
Simple praise chorus that simply points us to where? Christ be the center of my life, be the place we fix our eyes. This is where we want to be right now. I want this to be more than a song. I want this to be the prayer of my heart right now in the middle of this service. Let us focus our attention on God and move in that direction. What are some great ideas you guys come up with about how we can literally do this in a worship service? Obviously, music and singing, so we'll put that up there already. All right. What else did you guys come up with? Right. We should. What percentage of your congregation do you believe are? Right. So what can we do to help move them to where they should be? Right. Does that make sense?
You need to pray for your church and the pastor of the church that you attend to, and always pray and ask God to reveal His glory.
All right.
Because you might just plan 30 minutes for worship, but it might carry on 2 hours.
Right. So no one even mentioned prayer yet, but just then, right? Prayer can be all this. Listen to me. I mean this with every fiber of my being. We'll get into this in the next steps. Maybe I'll hold off on this. Yeah, I'll hold off on it. What other ideas did you guys have? I don't want to get distracted. A testimony. Well, okay. All right. Love it. Okay. Movement. Okay, what do you mean? Like dancing?
Yeah.
Interpretive?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Dramatic reading.
Oh, a dramatic reading. Well, wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that fix our attention? That's something creative. Okay. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Right. Right. The testimonies are a powerful thing. I mean, Trent last night just had an amazing testimony. But then Amanda Brown, did you hear her read her poetry that she had written? Same deal. And the entire focus of that poem was you. It's all about you. I mean, all of it was designed to say, let's draw it. I don't care if it's music, if it's poetry. Something. That's the focus of number two. If it doesn't do what we want to number two, it doesn't get included in the service script. Okay? That's the lesson. Number three. Here we go. Uh-oh. Now, this is a rough drawing. Really rough. Does anybody know what takes place from the outer courts before we get to the holy place? What this is?
I'm hoping that's an altar.
Yeah, that's an altar.
Burning sacrifice.
Yes, that's exactly right. This is like a big grill. That's why I did it. That's my altar of sacrifice. Burnt offerings, right? They would come and lay the sacrifice upon. And then after that was something they called the bronze laver. This was a big thing of water. All right? Because before the priest, they have to wash. Anybody can help me finish this psalm. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in His holy place? He who has... Who can stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. If that is the progression of worship, I'm trying to get people behind the veil, we got to deal with this. If I want people to have intimacy with God, if I want people to connect with God, all those things we define for worship, guys... We can't do that as a sinful people. Right? So there's got to be some aspect of my worship service where we deal with this. Alright? Now, here is... We're talking about outside of the box stuff. When is this typically done? At the very end. So it begs the question, if I'm not getting right with God until the end of the service, is anything I've done up until that point been genuine worship? Acceptable worship? There has to be this element somewhere in my worship service, and feel free to use it before the very end. You can have an altar call anytime you want. Okay? This is what we call undefiled worship. We've got to move from undistracted worship to undefiled worship. And this is where we get clean hands and a pure heart. Because, guys, all of us struggle with sin. And if we desire intimacy with the Father, if we desire to get into this Holy of Holies, then I want to be able to do that. And so there are a lot of different ways that we can do this, and a lot of creative ways that we can do this. And I don't want to mention all of them because I want to give you some time to kind of brainstorm with each other. Because now we're getting into some areas where maybe you don't have stuff going on right now. So far, it's been okay. Greeting, sing some songs, praise. Now, how can we, even in the middle of the service, begin to deal with sin? Begin to crawl upon this altar? Because I'm going to be honest with you, this is not easy. This is not intended to be easy. This hurts. It's a burnt offering. And I want to be consumed by the fires of God. It takes a lot for me to crawl up on this altar and lay myself bare before the Lord. And then to be cleansed. But God says that if we will confess our sins, if we're faithful to do that, He's faithful and just to do what? To forgive us and cleanse us. And that's what we want. We want them to find forgiveness and cleansing. Why do we need cleansing? So we can come into His presence. But if God's already forgiven me, why do I need a cleansing? Right. I need not only my sin removed, I need the guilt associated. I need the stain of sin washed away. Because many of them are coming in there with, I mean, they're believers, they've given their lives to the Lord, and sin, maybe they've even confessed and got it right, but they're still dealing with, we have a hard time forgiving ourselves and each other. So maybe there's something that I can do in a service to just kind of open up that door for someone, give them an opportunity to do that, and just spend some time doing that. And so let's talk about it for a little bit. Get into your groups again and just say, what are some creative ways that we can do this? And then we'll talk about it a little bit more and we'll move on to the next point. But this idea of confession, this idea of getting clean, what are some ways that we can do that? And then we'll talk about it. Yeah, it's getting harder. When I brought it in, it erased it.
How in our worship service do we get to that point? How do we bring people to that point? How do we, in our worship service,
signal is what I, the band will stop and give it.
And pure hearts. How can we flesh that out in our service? How can we give our worshipers the opportunity to do just that? What do you guys think? What are some ideas you guys come up with? Altar call. Absolutely. An altar call. Come lay it down. Okay? What else?
Some sort of visual representation.
Okay.
We were talking in our group about how we live in a generation.
Yes.
The YouTube and all the stuff that's on the internet, you know, people are always wanting to look at. If you can give them kind of like a visual illustration of laying it down, like we're talking about maybe writing on a piece of paper and nailing it to a cross, or
Right. Last night we did the index cards in the baskets. See, that was something that was a physical, I am laying this down. Another great, especially if you can do a small group in camp, retreat or something, putting together just a rough wooden cross and having them nail their sins to the cross. These are all things that will help them to really grasp this. That's good. Some sort of visual. Okay? Communion is a great time. Absolutely. You say, wait a second, this isn't a communion service. We don't have the communion scheduled until the second Sunday of the second month. And hey, break it out, man. Absolutely. Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Okay? Great idea. Anything else you guys come up with? There's some great scripture reading out there. What if you just had someone walk up there and just read Psalm 51? That is a classic, unbelievable psalm. God purged me with hyssop. I might be whiter than snow. And David's just... And then flip it and say, now let's personalize this. Put it on your PowerPoint. And put all the personal pronouns in there instead of the... Instead of some of the things that he uses. God, forgive me for my sins. I feel dirty. God purged me with hyssop. And put all those things in there that people might personalize that for themselves. Let's see what else. Open in there. Songs, even if it's just songs about the cross, that point them to this idea of my sins are on Jesus. Even if you just selected some sort of cross visual or some songs about the cross. And let me say this too, I didn't mention this earlier, so I'll mention it now. I mentioned, Don and I were talking about this, so I want to make sure I mentioned it. It's okay to use hymns. You're hearing a young college pastor say it's okay to use hymns. Because here's the mentality that drives me nuts. Okay? This is the mentality. The contemporary... even that term contemporary, I'm not sure I like the term. Contemporary crowd says, man, we're so tired of all these people. All they want is organs and all they want to do is sing their hymns. Man, we just want to sing this type of music. How is that any different of a mentality... It's the same mentality. They're just saying, we're not going to sing hymns, we're going to sing this. It's the same mentality that you're talking against. We're only going to sing hymns, we're not going to sing that. So how is that making any difference? The fact of the matter is, worship is worship, and any song that you sing is a worship song. Now, if you want to play the hymn with your contemporary praise band like we did last night, we sang At the Cross at the end. You see that? Full praise team, drums, the whole nine yards, but we sang a hymn. Because the words are powerful. They're just as powerful as something Chris Tomlin wrote. Now, Chris Tomlin's written some powerful songs that are more powerful than some of the hymns I've sung. If you find a song that fits what you're trying to do, sing it. Without shame. To the quality level that would honor God, the best that you guys have. If you've got a full band and all you're doing is using the organ to play the song, then you're not being a good steward of the resources, and you're not giving your best to God. Use everything you got. Have someone sing a solo at the cross. All the lights go off the stage. All you see is the cross, and you got some girl over there singing at the cross. Something. But just focusing your eyes on my sin, what Jesus has done, and I need to get this right. I need to get cleansed. And do whatever. Okay? Undefiled worship. Straight into... Oh, my mercy. Undivided worship. Let's just say now, I've removed my distractions. I've come in the gates with thanksgiving in my heart, the courts with praise. I've laid my life and my sin down on the altar, and I beg God to cleanse me and to forgive me and to make me righteous, make me holy. Now I can come into the holy place. Okay? And in here, there was an altar of incense, a table of showbread, and the lampstand. Okay? We're going to focus in on this altar of incense. What was the altar of incense? What was the purpose? Right. Right. And it was constantly burning, right? So the goal was, the visual was, we are constantly burning this sweet-smelling aroma that God would breathe it in and be pleased. Right? We want God to be pleased by our worship. And worship is a lifestyle. We've already covered that, right? So what I'm saying in the holy place is, God, I want you to breathe in my life and it be a sweet, pleasant aroma in your nostrils. I want to bless you with my life. And right now, there are some areas in my life that I'm not blessing you with. And I am divided against my will and your will. And what I want to say before I go into the Holy of Holies is not my will, but yours be done. I'm laying down my sin here. I'm laying down myself here. And I'm saying, it's all about you, it's not about me. I'm laying down my will, my desires, my plans, my goals, my vision for your burdens, your vision for my life right here, because I want you to be pleased with my life. Because there's this great passage in the New Testament that where Jesus says, anything you ask of the Father, it will be given to you, right? But isn't there a condition placed on that statement? What condition does Jesus place on that statement? Anything you ask of the Father, what? According to His will. Or in my name, the Father will give it to you, right? Same thing. To be honest with you, if I go into the presence of God, into the Holy of Holies, if I skip this, I'm not real sure that everything I ask Him would be according to His will and for His name and not my own. Maybe you're not like me, but I struggle with self. And I ask a lot of things for my own benefit. In my name. And I want to make sure that if I'm going to genuinely, authentically worship God in the Holy of Holies, I want to make sure that I'm coming and whatever I ask of Him in here is done in His name and not my name. Because I want Him to be pleased with the aroma of my life. I want my worship to be undivided. No more self-worship. It's all about Jesus. Okay? But I've got to do that here. And one of the ways that I find out, we're just going to have to skip this. One of the ways that I find out what God's will is as opposed to my own, how does God speak to us about what His will for our lives might be? Number one answer on everybody's lips is the Word. You need to have the Word of God in your worship service. If you don't have the Word of God in your worship service, my opinion, that's not a worship service. That's a bunch of singing and a bunch of other stuff. The centerpiece of your worship service is the preached Word of God. That is how God is going to speak to them. Now, are people blessed by dancing and by skits and by songs? And can God speak to them? Absolutely. But the primary means that God speaks to us in our worship service is through His Word. It is still through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved, the Bible says. I want them, and I want to know what God's will for my life is in every circumstance. And each message might be in a different circumstance, whatever. But I want to know what God's will is as apart from mine. And I want to say, God, I want to be obedient to Your Word and not mine. And so in this area, I would have Scripture upon Scripture, preached, message, whatever. Okay? So I just did your small group stuff for you. You've got to have the Word in the middle of your service somewhere. Okay? Now, I'm a preacher at heart, so if I was a music pastor, I'd be like, it's all about the music, brother. But I'm a preacher. It's all about the Word of God, man. It is. Okay. The last one, I love this. If you move from undistracted worship to undefiled worship to undivided worship, what you have at the end is undeniable worship. You and I are not denied access to the Father. And what takes place after all these elements have been done is undeniably worship. This is when, I mean, something amazing breaks out in your church. And what happens is undeniably a worship thing. Okay? And I want you to get here. I want us to all get here. To this place, to the Holy of Holies, behind the veil. Now, you notice on the progression model, there is no back door to the tabernacle. You must come this way to get to the Holy of Holies. You can't bypass the courts where this priest is singing with everything they got. You can't just shimmy around this huge altar of incense. You can't find a side door past the holy place and somehow try to sneak behind into the Holy of Holies, where we meet face to face with God, and God does business with me, and I do business with God. That's what we want, right? There's no back door. Worship. Oh, we try to create it. We do it in our own personal worship. How many times has your prayer life been this? Hey, God, it's me again. Listen, I need your help. I need this, 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 and this, and this. Amen. God says, I know you didn't just try to come through the back door and start asking me stuff.
You're right, though, man, because a lot of people do try to do it. I need this. Start off thanking God for just being God.
Right.
Thanking Him.
Exactly right. And then start confessing your sin.
Right.
And then start saying, God, it's not about me, it's about you. I want your will done in my life. And then the scripture says, we may come boldly before the throne. There's only one way that I can come boldly before the throne. That's if I've come across that altar and come to the holy place. If I come without all that, I can't be bold. I certainly can't. And we want bold, intimate, connected worshipers. And guys, I want you to have all this. I want you to have every resource I have available to you. I know we're out of time, and I want to make time for my buddy to come in here. So here's what I've done to kind of save some time. I want to help you create some of these more outside-of-the-box deals. People, in every step, you talked about PowerPoint or skits or videos. I created a resource CD just for you, just for this workshop, just for this conference. On here, there are PowerPoint slides. There are videos. There are logos for a series, a teaching series, if you want to do that. There's moving backgrounds. There is poetry, testimonies. The whole kit and caboodle is on this one CD. All right? I want you to take it with you, have it, use it however you want to. I don't care, throw it in the trash, do whatever. But it's here for your use. If you can use it in some way to help you in one of those phases, do it. Okay? But it's here for you. So grab it on your way out the door. Any questions real quick? I know we're finished and we didn't get to... Undeniable worship.
But you've got four.
No, because the first two. The
undistracted first two. Was twice.
Undistracted was twice. I'm so sorry. You're right. Change your numbers. I'm sorry. And we were going to sing a great song about It's All About You. Mike was ready, so thank you, Mike. And all creatures of our God and King, so, but, sorry, we're out of time.
Wait, what was the
All Creatures.
Oh, that's a great song. Sing it.
Yeah, so. Let me pray with you, and then we'll be out. I don't want to miss prayer. Now that we've had all this, let's all get right with God, right? I'm going to have an altar call now. Let's do this. Father, we thank you so much for today, and we thank you so much for worship. God, help us understand what that is, and we can't possibly, in our finite minds, wrap ourselves around your infinity, God, and what you desire worship to be. But God, we're trying to become intimate, passionate worshipers that come boldly before your throne of grace and the Holy of Holies. God, I know we have to come this way. So, Father, in every element, whether it be my personal worship or our corporate worship, God, may there be elements of removing distractions and focusing our attention on you, about praising you, God, not just for what you've done, but for who you are, your nature, your character, your holiness. And God, may there be an element of confession and getting right with you and coming clean before you. And that, God, may there be an element where I am surrendering my all. As John said, may there be less of me and more of you. But God, I'm going to go beyond that. May there be none of me and all of you. And then, God, I can come into the Holy of Holies. I can crawl up in your lap and I can call you Abba, Daddy, Father. And I can have a moment with you that is behind the veil. And may we develop services, may we develop programs, may we develop anything, God, that can help move single adults behind the veil. Oh, God, make that so in Jesus' name. Amen.